So we are going to be looking at the continuation of Paul's journey and the spread of the message and the various events that have taken place. Just a quick scenario setting just before we continue. Paul is now in Jerusalem, and after being tried by the Sanhedrin, Paul, after confounding the Sadducees and the Pharisees, there was a plot to kill Paul, and a few men have taken a vow to effectively take him out. They said, "We're not going to eat until this man is dead." And Paul's nephew, his sister's son, has heard about this, and he's gone to the commander to inform him of this plot. And the commander, having previously learnt that Paul is a Roman, has a responsibility to maintain the peace within Jerusalem, but also to protect his reputation. He can't afford to have an assassination of a person in his custody. So to protect his reputation, he's now going to make some decisions on Paul's behalf that really were for selfish reasons, but turned out to be a part of the plan and purpose of God. So let's have a read. It's Acts 23, verse 23 to 35. And it says, "And he called for two centurions, saying, 'Prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night. And provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix, the governor.' He wrote a letter in the following manner: 'Claudius Lysias, to the most excellent governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them. Coming with the troops, I rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman. And when I wanted to know the reason they accused him, I brought him before their council. I found out that he was accused concerning questions of their law, but had nothing charged against him deserving of the death or chains. And when it was told to me that the Jews lay in wait for the man, I sent him to you immediately and commanded his accusers to state before you the charges against him. Farewell.' Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day, they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they also presented Paul to him. And when the governor had read it, he asked what province he was from. And when he understood that he was from Cilicia, he said, 'I will hear you when your accusers also have come.' And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's praetorium." Now, what we're seeing here with Paul is that he's been put in a position where the Jews have, because they felt threatened by the message that, and the spreading of the message throughout Europe, and from what they've heard of Paul, now that he's here, and from what was accused of him in the temple, they're fanatical Jews. They want to kill him and take him out. And what we found is that Felix, to prevent a riot on his hands, has decided to send him to, Claudius Lysias, to prevent a riot on his hands, has sent him to Felix. And Felix is the governor of the region. Now, in all of what Paul has gone through, God has a plan. And if we remember from last week's message, where Tunde so accurately spoke on the topic of the plot, the promise, and God's providence, and we saw that this plot against Paul was known to God, And he, even before Paul became aware of the plot, God provided him with a promise and said, listen, no problem, no harm is going to come to you. And through God's providence, he provided a way for Paul to be protected in spite of the plans of others. And this is a theme that we see running throughout the whole of Acts, that Paul faces many challenges and goes through many different, I see them as mini battles, as it were. It's him spreading the word and people in that area not being happy, and Paul then being beaten up or spat on or thrown out of a town. But yet, in spite of all of that, God's word and God's plan still prevails. And we remember that God's plan was in Acts 1 verse 8, which is, you shall be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, and eventually to the ends of the earth. And that's what we see fulfilling. And the message, or the title of the message, is setbacks are God's setups. Setbacks are God's setups. And the thoughts behind this message that I would like us to just take a moment to reflect on is that no matter what happens in our life, God is in control of everything. And in him being in control of everything, it's to fulfill his purpose. It's about God's purpose being fulfilled in our lives. And the second thought is, what you thought was meant for evil, God meant it for our good. And I just want to take a moment just to think about that. That Paul's life was placed in the hands of two leaders. One being Claudius Lysias. Now, let's see who this guy is. He was a commander of 1,000 men. Like I've said before, his main role was to keep the peace. He was someone that had previously bought his citizenship. And he's occupying a position, but he's come into custody of Paul. And his aim really was for himself. He painted himself perfectly in the letter that he wrote. According to his letter, he was the one that found Paul. He was the one that rescued Paul from these people. But we know that from the previous chapters, he was ready to beat Paul. And had Paul not said to him, is it lawful to beat a Roman, he wouldn't have stopped. But he's passed him on to Felix. And Governor Felix was a former slave who became a governor. Again, he was somebody that was ruthless as a leader. He just wanted to keep, he wanted to just pass on this case and quieten down the contention. But in spite of these men's personal ideas for how they wanted to deal with Paul, God had a plan. And God's plan was being fulfilled in spite of the ideas of these leaders. And it shows us that God can use anyone, that he uses Christians and non-Christians alike. And God is not a respecter of persons, but it is about his will prevailing in our lives and ultimately in the societies in which we live in. And when I think about this, it makes me reflect, even in my own life, where I've experienced challenges. A few years ago, I lost my job and was out of work. And in being out of work, it was a very difficult time emotionally. Being a young man, it was very difficult because self-esteem is challenged. You feel low. You not having, going without, it was very difficult. And I would complain to God and say, God, this is what's going on. How's it going? How's this happening? Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? And in God's grace and mercy over time, because it wasn't an overnight situation, but in time, God opened doors for me that I went through places that I was overqualified to be in. I was I was well above the standard of where I was, but at the time it was all I could get. But God in his gracious mercies over time opened up various doors, and one of those doors led me to work for a company in which I met my wife. And when I look back on it, I'm actually grateful for losing that job at that point, because had I had not and I had stayed there, I may have missed out on one of the greatest blessings that up to this point God has blessed me with. And when I look back on that, it really does drill home this point for me, that some of our biggest setbacks might just be God's setups. That as you're listening to this, you may be facing your own personal setbacks. It may be with all of what's going on with the coronavirus and all of these issues currently, that you're facing the dark tunnel of unemployment, reduced money coming in. It may be lost opportunities. It may be having to deal with providing for your children now that the schools are closed. It's gone from 1 or 2 meals a day now to 3, possibly 4 if you include snacks. And it's how am I gonna get through this season? How am I gonna get through these challenges? It may be an issue in your marriage or your relationship, where things are not going the way that you thought they would go. It may be to do with just your family issues, and you look at it and you see these contentions and mess, and you're like, God, what is this? I want to encourage you and say, these setbacks that you're experiencing are setups for God to act on your behalf. And what makes me say this is the many different examples that are provided to us in the Word of God, and one of them being Joseph. And Joseph was a young man who went through many different challenges. He was kidnapped by his brothers because they were jealous. He was sold into slavery. As a slave, he worked for Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife lied on him and said he tried to sleep with her, and he was thrown into prison because of this. But what we see is that all of that was a setup by God, that Joseph, being in jail, offered he received responsibility over the prisoners. One of the prisoners who was in there had a dream which Joseph was able to interpret. That prisoner previously worked for Pharaoh and was able to be, God allowed it that he was able to come back before Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh had a dream that no one could interpret, this servant told him of Joseph, and Joseph came out and interpreted Pharaoh's dream, which gave him favor in the sight of Pharaoh, that Pharaoh set him as second in command throughout the whole of Egypt. That second in command is to Pharaoh himself, that there was Pharaoh, then Joseph. And this favor opened a door that God's plan was then now implemented, which was that God inspired Joseph to come up with a plan that in the good years, you save grain. In the good years, you preserve grain. That in the bad years, you still have seed. And this plan saved not just Egypt, but the nation of Israel. And what this shows us is that God's providence, God's plan, is so far greater than anything that we can think of. The Bible says that as far as the heaven is from the earth is as far as God's ways from our ways. That when we look at all of the difficulties and challenges that we may be facing, I want to encourage you and say, God is in control. And with God being in control, we can take comfort in the promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That he will never give us more than we can bear. That though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because God is with us. And that when we hold on to these promises, when we hold on to these patriarchal experiences, we then allow God to prove himself in our situations. That he is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He will supply all of our needs. And I want us to be encouraged that no matter what we're facing, every setback is a setup for God to show himself strong, for God to prove that he is faithful. God is faithful. The Bible says that God honors his word above his own name. That when we look at the situation that Abraham and Sarah went through, when you look at the issues that Moses went through, when you look at the issue that David went through, when you look at the issue that Paul went through, God's plan prevailed. He was faithful to each and every one of them. He never left them. He never forsake them. He never abandoned them at any point in their journey. And I want us to just take a moment just to think about that. That you may be going through a difficult time right now. God is with you. God is with you. You are not alone. You do not have anything to be afraid of. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's in his word. The Bible says that God's word cannot return to him void. It must go out there and accomplish what it was sent to do. God honors his word above his very name. He says, listen, if you being sinners, if your child asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? What more so your heavenly father? Understand that all we have to do is ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. According to his plan. That this setback that you're experiencing right now is just a moment. Because it's really a setup for God to act miraculously on your behalf. Hold on. Hold on. Trouble doesn't last always. Trouble doesn't last always. It is for a season. And God has a plan for this, because destiny is designed with difficulties. It is these difficulties that show us that, you know what? I can't do this by myself. Lord, I need you. I can't do this by myself, Father God. I need you. And it is when we get to that point that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. I want to encourage you today. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich because of what God has done. And Father, we give you thanks and we bless you for every setback that we may be experiencing, because we understand that it's a setup. And you said in all things, give thanks. And Lord God, we give you thanks today for what you are doing. For all that you've done, Lord, and for what you're doing, I want to say thank you for the things that you've done and for blessings on its way. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Be blessed, brothers and sisters.